listening to.
And we are recording.
So, Jack, I hear how much you hate babies.
Yeah, apparently, especially AJ Pollock's baby.
Yeah.
No memory of that. I'm sorry to the Pollock family, who I was unaware that that baby was born prematurely. And he got corona visiting the hospital so many times because of his child. Oh, I'm a terrible person. I'm sorry, Pollock family. You've only been talking in memes.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's a modern romance.
It's fucking awesome.
Is that easier because you have dyslexia?
Oh, it's so much easier. And there's pictures. Like, I would be frightened like, if I never spoke.
Is it like a picture book dating? Like,
honestly, I might pull that fucking move I did last time with that other chick.
Where you claim to have a serious mental health disorder?
No, I mean the not talking, just walk up and kiss her. If I can get laid without speaking would be like the best thing ever.
Zach, I don't want to deal with your ego if that happens. If you do that, text me it happens and I'm not talking to you for a week.
I mean, dude, like, okay, so look, I was out to dinner with Chuck the other night, our friend Chuck, and dude, there was the most awkward date going on. This guy was like, you know, late 30s, mid 30s or something, and he's with this gorgeous Russian woman who like clearly did not speak English well. She didn't know how to say chopsticks and she didn't know what a bean sprout was. We were eavesdropping the whole night.
There are many people in America more
that don't know what a bean sprout is.
Yeah, I would assume in the flyover states that don't know what a bean sprout is. And maybe I was chopsticks. One of them. I was one of them. No, the chopsticks are pretty modern.
My point is, these people are like in their 30s and they're clearly on a first date and he took her to pho. Like, who does that? It's not a first date place.
That's where Ali Wong and her husband went. When I was in Japan, my buddy lived next to this, like, the equivalent of an IHOP, right? And the thing about Japan is, like, parts of the city are very English-friendly. If you're close to downtown, if you're close to the airport, a lot of English-speaking people, a lot of Japanese people who speak English very well. But the farther you get away from that, and Japan makes LA look tiny, by the way, the less English-friendly it becomes. And my buddy lived not on the outskirts, but well, far enough from the airport and downtown to, like, I was fucked going out outside. So I went into this IHOP equivalent-based restaurant next to my buddy's house. The menu is all in Japanese. It has, like, three photos. And I do the take one of these and point to the photo. Right?
Yes.
And it was a really crummy looking sandwich. So I was like, I guess I'll take this. And the waiter clearly knew I didn't speak any Japanese and he kind of smiled. And he brings me my food 10 minutes later. And it's very proficient service in Japan, by the way. And he gets really excited all of a sudden as he puts my plate down and he like gives me like, hold on one sec. You know, holds up one finger and he's like, I'll be right back. Like, that was the body language I read from him. And he, like, sprints back into the kitchen. I'm sitting there kind of confused, like, okay, is he going to give me something free? That'd be cool. He comes rushing back out, hands me a fork. And I had never been so offended in my life. I was like, really? Come on. Like, I know you're trying to help, but... You're gonna give me a fork.
I get that. When I was in Italy last time, I ordered like spaghetti and they gave me a spoon. Apparently, you use the spoon. Like,
yeah, I feel like that's normal for Italian places.
You use the fork to twist.
No, that is not Italian at all.
Oh, really? It's Canadian?
Not in any way. Yeah, I was so pissed.
Did they know you were Canadian?
They knew I was not Italian by the way I spoke Italian.
It's too formal.
They could tell my accent was all off.
Well, and the Canadian accent, the French Canadian accent, dude. Yeah.
Hey. I was like, posso avere un po' di spaghetti, eh?
Mamelas.
Un bagheri boogheri.
All right, so you spoke Italian, I spoke a word of Spanish, and you just went racist.
Me? That was racist? Oh, my God. But yeah, okay, so while I was at that, you know, watching this, I do people watching this hilarious sometimes, but while I was watching that first date, and like, I know I've asked you guys this like off the podcast, but like, I think it would be so funny to watch you two flirt with your prospective wife and fiance just for like my own gratification.
Satisfaction. Would it be as entertaining as watching you try and say satisfaction?
maybe. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I think I flirt with you two more than you flirt with your girls.
Probably. I mean,
yeah, I could see that.
Like, at this point, we're just like, we just say what we mean.
Yeah, it's just, what's the word I'm looking for? All the cutesy stuff is just, it's like, yeah.
It's all out the window.
You want to bang or what? You know,
like, it's yeah, bad.
You're
yeah,
in the
much.
First year of marriage. You should at least try to be seductive.
We've been in our right. Honeymoon has been a quarantine.
I mean, at this point, it's just extra steps.
I mean, I mean, look, my really point is, point I don't believe me. You guys like walk into the room and are just like blowjob. Now it's happening.
Well, it's not a little bit more. It's a little bit more like, would you like to have sex? Why, yes, and then we have sex.
That sounds so lovely.
Oh my god.
Zach is so just pissed off right now.
It's like, rather than like, I'm gonna cook you dinner and buy candles and buy flowers.
I'm not
like, turn the lighting down, we're gonna have dinner, look longingly into each other's eyes and then have sex.
Remind Zach wouldn't do any of that. He would invite them over and have them cook him dinner.
Right.
Okay, look, that's happened once in this apartment. All right.
How many times is it gonna happen again?
What, will a woman ever cook me dinner? Hopefully tons.
The same return of the favor, Zach.
And make her dinner? You guys know I like to cook. That's not an issue for me. Look, I'm just saying, like, to set the scene, if both of your girls were out at a bar together and I could just, like, watch you guys try and pick up your girls, I think that would be hilarious.
You know, it would be kind of funny because, like, if we played that scenario out, and we had like stuck to the characters. Like,
wait, you talked about this with your wife about like, you know,
pretending? No, I'm just speculating here. Like,
okay.
Inevitably.
I mean, paint the picture. Sober, I want to hear.
To come up, like, oh, I'm sober. Like, what the hell are you doing in the bar?
Well, yeah, you're pretending, but at the same time, they obviously know you.
My wife doesn't know I'm sober.
Really?
No, I'm sorry.
Can you play into it a little bit?
On what?
Because I think that's going to be gold.
Oh, yeah, no, I'd be down to do it. It'd be funny.
No, I mean, like, let's talk about it and play the scenario out a little bit.
Oh, okay.
That way I can talk about how I flirt with you and Anthony.
Sure. Sure. Are we ever going to get into the episode?
I think this is a good way to start it.
Oh, welcome back to another episode of What Dad Podcast, bringing you the meeting after the meeting every week. Our mission is to bring you, the listeners, questionable entertainment and talk about whatever we want. I'm Anthony.
I'm Jack.
And I'm Zach. Back to our regular conversation.
Let's assuage back into the conversation.
Assuage.
We got to make that a t-shirt.
But yeah, I mean, so you guys, I mean, let's paint the scene. Let's play it out here. Mm-hmm. You guys are in a bar picking up your chicks. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys already know each other. But you're going to pretend you don't, and you have to pick her up.
Okay.
So you already know that it's going to be a success, but, like, let's play the scenario.
I don't know, dude. That was pretty bad. Like,
you have to be aware that the next time I try and pick somebody up in a bar will be the first time I try and pick somebody up in a bar because I stopped drinking when I was 20.
Lame. Oh my god,
take the drinking out of it. No one's talking about that. What okay, no,
I'm saying I never went to a bar to pick anybody up because I wasn't legally allowed inside.
I think I went to a lot of bars in Virgin Islands.
You're getting stuck on the bar. We're talking about you flirting with your fiance.
I know, but I'm just thinking, like, yeah, okay, I picked up my wife's in the background, so I'm not mentioning that. Okay, moving on.
You're literally talking about picking her up, not other women.
Yeah, I'm picking my wife up at a bar, and I pretend.
Yes.
Scenario, sexy scenario type.
Which is perfect because both of your wives drink. Not that they have a problem with it, but I mean,
my wife barely drinks.
Oh, which reminds me,
I'm resentful of how little my wife drinks.
Kirsten finally had White Claw and said that it is better than LaCroix. I know you were interested in that, Zach.
She finally had
White. I actually am, yeah. All White the kids Claw? These days are drinking White Claw and Truly, and I've never had it.
Never so, even heard of those.
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah.
All right.
Good old new man, alcoholic dude. Products. Come on.
All right. We're in a bar. We're looking at okay. chicks. You mm-hmm. guys realize that both of your women are at the bar. Mm-hmm. Go. What's your play?
Bust out $1 million in a Magnum condom.
No. She knows you. She knows that's too big. This is a game of pretend.
Both of those are too big.
Magnum, and I'm ready. First off,
you'd be like, "What? Do you steal a bank and use the Magnum condom to put the money in it?"
dude, I don't even know what my first line would be.
There would be no line.
Hey, you know, that's yeah. good, just like in a really deep masculine voice.
I mean, if I could see her favorite tattoo, my favorite tattoo of hers, I might comment on that because that was like one of the first things I said to her online.
Thank you, Anthony, actually coming with a little bit of game.
You know what's actually hilarious is that my wife actually, because we met, so Zach, you still have not gone on Coffee Meets Bagel, hashtag Coffee Meets Bagel.
Plugging Coffee Meets Bagel?
Yeah, right we're plugging there? Coffee Meets Bagel because
it has a 100% success rate on this podcast.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds, yeah, I haven't used it, two-thirds, so it's unsuccessful.
100%. Right, yeah, so you don't count. You haven't used it. You're zero.
That's not how that works.
You're zero for zero. I can still
write a review on Yelp right now.
For Coffee Meets Bagel?
Right, hold on, Jack, where were you going with that? I'm actually interested for once.
Oh, on Coffee Meets Bagel, Kara, she actually reached out to me.
Oh, so in the scenario, you'd be the hot chick at the bar.
I have no idea what to say.
Which is right, I mean, still, this is the scenarios with your guys' females. So, okay, Anthony, we'll do you first then. So you'd walk up and say something about her tats?
Her what?
Tattoos. Her tats? Oh. Yes. You
know, tit for tat here?
And then I'm sure I would be like, oh, I'm thinking of getting one. And then that would kill the conversation. And that would be the end of it.
I really hope that one day I can get you guys to do this just because I feel like it's going to be
I think it would be fun. I'm not going to lie. I think it would be fun once.
So I'm like having a hard time. Like I'm sweating already.
Oh my God. I would love to give you anxiety for this. All right. So Jack, Anthony's already beat you to the punchline. I mean, at least he's
Anthony
talking
over
to
there has already beat me to the punchline.
I mean, at least he's talking to his girl. Like, there's some play there. Like, oh, you know, do you have any more?
What's wrong with just the deep, just, hey. Like,
hey.
I've spoken to your wife. She's kind of funny. What if she's just like, oh, creep, and throws a drink in your face?
That would be pretty funny. I bet you've been meaning to do that for a long time.
I bet you a part of her has always wanted to do that, A, to someone, B, specifically to you.
Probably.
And then you would be like, why would you waste alcohol like that? And
Jack would be free laps.
At first, I'd be like, "You're drinking too slow. Let me buy another."
Yeah.
So you would neg her. You would instantly just start making fun of her.
First drink of the night. Those are rookie numbers.
Oh my God! Hold
it's
on.
11 o'clock. How are you still on your first drink? My name's Jack, by the way.
My name's Jack. I'm an alcoholic.
Zach, where are you going?
We bored him to death.
I think Zach
with our lack of game.
Dude, our game is so terrible.
What was it?
Divorced.
What? Oh yeah. Well, one thing I think that's happened is because everybody can meet on dating apps. That's just what people are doing, rather than like everyone's like, why go through the trouble of meeting in person?
Sorry about that.
Obviously, not everybody, but like the trend seems to be more and more like it's easy and convenient.
It's much more convenient to meet somebody online rather than at a bar.
Well, I mean, first off. Nowadays, if you're in a grocery store and you see a chick that's attractive, unless you guys are both just like freaks and like look at each other and then go, you know, fuck in the car, like it's, you know, girls think you're creepy if you try and hit them on the street.
Obviously wasn't alive in 1985, but I would feel like there might be a more mutual understanding, say 30 years ago, where you approach somebody at the grocery store and it's like both of you understand maybe this is what we have to do. There are no other options. And now that there are other options, it's like, why are you talking to me? I'm grocery shopping. And I'm sort of the same way. It's like, why would I talk to her? She's grocery shopping. She's not interested in me hitting on her right now.
And that's that attitude will never get you laid. Okay.
Look, you know what's really fun to do is when you take like a bunch of Xanax, that just gives me so much confidence to hit on girls. So I just, you know, I take a couple of these bad boys right here.
Are those Pez?
Yeah, that look like Pez, dude.
What?
Do you have like a jewel-shaped Pez dispenser?
Did you just relapse on the podcast? Do we need to do an intervention?
We're going to find out in about half an hour.
It's not a relapse if you get a prescription for it, right?
I'm sure the prescription said take three and chew them.
I mean, every four hours.
What causes you anxiety that you have to take three of them?
Look, what I discuss with my doctors is between me and my doctor. Hold on, I actually do have some.
We barred out in 10 minutes.
The fact that you chewed Pez gives me anxiety.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do with Pez?
How do you?
I thought you sucked on them.
Oh my god, you guys! It's gonna be a great. I'm not gonna remember any of this podcast, and it's gonna be fantastic.
What are we talking about tonight? Anyways,
title this one: Zach gets kicked off the podcast.
Nah, Zach. Nah.
What? No, I just have to start my date over, right? But that's like, but see, this isn't a relapse because like I went to a doctor and I got them legally.
I remember being a sober living manager and having clients. I had a client show up with like, what they came in with. They came in with a Vicodin once. And we're like, oh, I need it because I have back pain. I was like, fuck you. I'm flushing that shit right now. I had a bunch of clients that tried to pull shit like that.
I haven't gotten high in so long. I feel like I can already feel it, but I know that's just like my brain.
You mean the sugar?
Sugar hits you pretty instantly.
Yeah, they didn't even look like bars. They look like Pez, dude. It didn't even happen.
I fucking hate you guys. I went online and I bought Xandies, candy that looks like Xanax.
That's actually really good.
So as far as them not looking real.
Most alcoholic shit.
I thought it would be funny. It looks like a Xanny.
I've never seen a Xanny.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
No.
Never seen a Xanny?
No.
I mean, it even has like the uptick.
It looks. Were they mints?
No, they're
Pez.
Strawberry lemonade flavored.
So Pez. All right, guys. So these are the topics.
Do you think I actually took drugs
for a split second? No,
I hate both of you.
We know you too well.
Now, if you had just pulled out a random thing of like rum, and it was like apple juice or something, that would have been more convincing.
I say we get a real bottle of Xanax and switch them with these, and see if people actually, you know, placebo effect.
A little fucked up, but. What? Oh, do you want to do it to people who are like in sobriety, or do you want to do it to people like you?
Anthony, what do you take for anxiety? They are really good.
I take a lot of things that I'm not willing to disclose on the podcast.
Have you tried masturbating?
Yeah, that usually helps for me. Or fucking a new girl.
Okay, hold on. Let's pump the brakes on Mr. I have the biggest dick in the room because I'm getting – I slept with two girls. One? Just one. Okay. Let's reel it in.
Hold on. If we're going to talk about who has the biggest dick, I really, for some reason, think it's Anthony just because like he's the quietest.
I'm going to just accept that as fact and not try and test it. So, sure.
There was a little too much modesty there.
I'll tell you this. I remember the exact moment when I realized I was no longer attracted to, like, the drug chic, the heroin chic look. I was at the Palisades Sunday morning meeting once, and, like, it was packed, and the meeting had already started, and, like, four girls from some sober living had showed up, all with the heroin chic look, and they came in late, And every dude in that room, like, their heads turned, right? I remember looking at that, and I was like, ah, no.
Yeah, I don't like that for girls, because, like, the image that you just painted in my head is, like, a really too thin blonde girl with dark eyes and dark clothing, but, like, pale skin. Not into it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. So, the three topics I sent you guys, by the way. Moments in early sobriety. What's up, Anthony?
I was going to say I can run with all three of these, so.
Worst advice you've received in sobriety, or the best. And crazy things you've seen in meetings.
What are you, the craziest thing I've seen in the meeting? That sounds really good. I feel like I'm not.
If you're not prepared, do one you can do without any prep work.
No, Anthony, go for it. I can talk about anything. Here's for sure what I can't talk about because it was super unclear is the obfuscate.
Obfuscate?
Obfuscate?
Obfuscate. And
ostensibly.
Oh, you're talking about the words?
Ostensibly, yeah.
Those are awful, dude. And here's the thing, dude.
I use ostensibly all the time.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
If you're going to give me words that I obviously don't know, in the description of what the word is, can you also put words that I'm familiar with? Apparently or purportedly.
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 Like this podcast is ostensibly about having fun in sobriety, but it is actually just a bunch of dick jokes.
Because dick jokes are fun. You also didn't use any of those words.
Yo, do you need examples of them now?
I thought you were using it in a sentence.
I could start doing that.
All right, so we're just going to chalk this week up on Zach's words to a loss for me.
Okay, I'm starting
they were
to
obfuscate.
So, okay, I'm happy to do best or worst advice you've received in sobriety.
Okay,
for this week,
kick us off, buddy.
All right, I mean, I've got like I think the one it's best. I don't really have worst advice, thankfully, but like I think the best thing I've ever heard, and it was from. It was from somebody who can say it way better than I could ever say it. But he basically, I was sharing it at the crosstalk meeting about, I don't know, some bullshit I was going through. And he was like, the hot seat. Yeah. He was like, you only coast one way, dude. And I was like, it made everything click. It was like, if I'm not working toward bettering myself, I'm coasting. And the only way I coast is down. Like, full stop. I never coast up.
Yeah, I like that.
When I was in Beit Shua, they would say one grain of sand better, because even if you're doing something minuscule as a grain of sand, it's still in the right direction.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah. All right, now what was the worst advice that you were told? This is what I'm interested in.
I'm going to think on that one because I don't generally write down the worst advice I get. Actually, I think maybe it's not exactly sobriety related, but I got it in sobriety. But when I, as we all know, my fiance proposed to me, and in the lead up to that, I started freaking out that she was going to propose to me, and I called up one of our friends. He was like, oh, dude, she's totally giving you a hint. You have to go ahead and propose right away. Like, and it just like sent me into a tailspin. I was like, oh my God, I'm not ready to do this. I have nothing planned. And it was like, no, she was just, it was what she wanted to do. And I was like, yeah.
So wait, what did you do? Did you like go and try and look for a ring, or did you like try and prepare something? Did you just freeze?
I mostly just panicked. I mostly was just like, I have blown one of the most important moments in my life by waiting too long. And I was like, there's nothing I can do to make up for this. And it was like, turns out, no, it was just, everything's fantastic. But it was just like, yeah, it was,
Have you ever given a sponsee or somebody in a meeting like really bad advice? Like you didn't know it was bad advice at the time, and then you went, "Oh, that turned out terribly."
What if you know it's bad advice? Because I mean, do you guys remember Fight Club?
I never went.
I have seen people in a crosstalk meeting purposely give bad advice as a way to be like,
"Those are my favorite."
As a way, in a very, very sarcastic way of saying, yeah. Your idea is so bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you how bad it is by giving you a worse idea. Like, I've seen that happen. And, you know, that goes 50-50. Like, I've seen some people go, "Oh, that's brilliant," and run off with it. And they're like, I mean, I started doing that with clients. Like, a client would come with a terrible idea.
Because it points the fact through that their idea is so stupid.
Yeah. And then sometimes it came back to bite me. I'd get like a therapist calling me and be like, "Hey, what did you just say to my client you go do?" And I was like,
"Yeah.
Apparently you didn't catch my sarcastic undertone."
Yeah. Clients are stupid.
Yeah, I definitely, like one time a client came in and I gotta tell the story. So one time a client came in.
Wait, is this you giving good advice or bad advice?
This is me just, I don't know. I want to ask you guys. I don't think I gave him advice. I think I just ended up laughing at him because he was asking for advice. And
Jack, can I have your advice? No.
Yeah, that's basically how it went down. This kid came in, right? He bought. He had no money. He came in from the streets, and he had about 35 days sober. And he came in one day. It was back 2017. Drove into the driveway. You know, he came into rehab with like nothing except the clothes on his back. And
done that.
He showed up one day in the driveway of the sober living with a brand new 2018 sports Altima. And I was like,
"We take out a credit card?" Or
yeah, I was like, "How did you afford? Like, what?" He's like, "Oh, I'm going to drive for Uber, and they leased me a car." And I was like, "For how much?" And he was like, "Oh, it's like $500 a month." And I was like,
"For a, I'm sorry, what type of car?"
Brand new 2018 Sports Altima.
This kid's a fucking moron.
And then I asked about his insurance because he was, he was like 20. So I was like, "What's your insurance?" He's like, "I also got it through Uber. It's going to be $300. And I was like, I didn't even ask what the interest rate on it was. I just didn't. And I looked at him and he was like, "What, is something wrong?" I was like, "So you're telling me you have a $500 payment on a lease and a $300 insurance payment every month. That's $800 plus gas to make a profit." And I watched that like information hit this kid's head and he went, "Oh, that's not good." I just started laughing at him. Oh, and here's the best part. The next week he came sprinting into my office, like freaking out. He's like, "Jack, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." I was like, What's wrong? He's like, "I just totaled my car with a passenger in it."
No.
Wow.
Instead
of giving him advice on what to do, I laughed at him.
As you do.
It was not the best, like, sober living manager moment, but this kid made so many dumb decisions in finance, like, financially dumb decisions. I just could not help but laugh.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I think you just won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach, you ever given a client or a sponsee or anybody in the room bad advice?
I mean, especially in the rooms where, like, when I'm talking to clients, I try and take that shit a little seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm consistently – I mean, so I do play into the sarcasm a lot, and you know, it's very comfortable, but it's also kind of deterred a lot of the client. I haven't had someone act on one of my bad sarcasm things, you know what I mean? So, like, I get a lot of young kids, like under the age of 25, and they're consistently like, you take them to the grocery store, like, "Oh my God, she's so hot," and like, I tell them, "Don't look unless you're gonna go over there and say something to her." So I'm like waiting for the kid to actually do that and they get slapped in the face, and then I'll probably have something to say. But yeah, I mean, normally I tell them, like, you know, what, like, if they're trying to leave, I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. You know what? Like, here's your first $20. I'll buy your first sack. Tell me how it works out. And it, like, scares them. They're like, oh, wait, all I have is
$20. That's actually pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever, what's the most practical piece of advice you've ever gotten? Like, something you just, like, did not expect. Like, they were, like, they said something so contrary to the present moment, it just threw you off guard and kind of brought you back to, like, the moment of, like, oh, maybe this isn't the most important. Maybe my crisis is not the most important thing in the world and doesn't need to be solved right now.
So recently I was like fucking around with another client. We were having a good time and talking and shit. And this girl comes in and sits down and starts crying. And she's like, my mother, who's already beat breast cancer, has breast cancer again. And my father just left her and she's home alone and I want to leave treatment. And I just like fucking was like, oh my God, that sounds so fucking difficult. Like, how are you supposed to tell some fucking 20-year-old girl not to go be supportive to her dying mother? You know, because you're supposed to tell them, like, stay in treatment. The best thing you can do for her is to get sober yourself. That way you can be a part of the future. And, like, normally it's like a client wants to get high because they're having a fucking craving. Cool. Yeah, of course I'm going to do the right thing. But, like, I was like, look, you got to talk to your sponsor and fucking weigh the pros and cons, like, you know. I don't really remember how that conversation went right now, but that caught me so off guard.
I've like heard about those stories in the meeting, in the rooms. Like,
what stories?
Like stories like somebody went into rehab and on their fourth day there, like their grandfather died, or like their brother got into an accident, or their significant, like, you know, just like these stories of like people who, while in treatment, faced tragedies.
Yeah, and like
really, and they were like, sobriety. I'm leaving. You know, yeah, but like they were like, I'm leaving, and the treatment center held them there. They were like, you're not leaving. You need to stay here. And every time someone tells that story in the rooms, it always ends with, I was so grateful I stayed, because I would not have stayed sober through that. And I always
for sure.
Because, like, I've seen clients, like, they're, like, even if they have, like, 9 months sober, you know, and they've worked all the steps and they're in it, and, you know, something like that happens, and they just go, and they're just so consumed with all the, like, how overwhelming grief and, like, trauma and all that crap that comes with it. And then in the family dynamics, you know.
Oh, dude, I mean, so, like, my grandma's 90 years old, and she's, like, probably, like, on her last rocker. I mean, she's consistently confusing me for my father, who's been dead for 30 years. And, like, I have told so many people, like, that's my Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I've told so many people, like, that's my one reservation. That's my get high free card. You know what I mean? Like, you know, she's the last one I have left. She was the one that I was closest with. And, like, now that I'm, like, you know, how fucking sober am I? Let's see.
How sober are you, Zach?
2 years, 10 months.
2.87 years, 34.54 months. 1,052 days.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, now I don't think I would use that as an excuse. But, like, dude, that first year, even though I wanted sobriety really bad, like, I was still thinking, like, if she died for some reason, like, while I was still in treatment, I could probably finagle my way to be able to stay in treatment and just start my time over.
Yeah, I mean, like, dude, we all know what it's like to play the dead dad card. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people aren't going to touch that one.
I was in that situation. I was, like, 100-some-odd days sober, and my dad was dying, and I had literally run into my old dealer on the street, what? Like the day before.
Well, that's and everyone sells pot,
right? Well, it was yeah.
It's about the dead and, father, Zach. Don't interrupt it. Okay?
Did you tell him my dad just died?
No, but I was using that as an excuse. I was like going to basically the card I was about to play.
Yeah, for sure.
I called my sponsor before I left the house, And he just goes, what are you going to do tomorrow? And I don't know. I it was like 100 days. I literally wasn't thinking that far ahead. And it was like, that snapped me back to reality. I was like, tomorrow's going to be worse than it is right now if I go do this. Wow. And it was like, that was kind of like my first moment of like.
Is this your current sponsor?
No, that sponsor went out. But it was just like, it was like that, like the freebie disappeared. I was like, this is my freebie. And it just vanished with like just some basic, simple question. Like, and now it's like, I don't know, the idea of the freebie is kind of gone. It's like, it's been long enough that it's like, what about tomorrow?
Hey, dude, you know what? Those are stories that you can tell your sponsees, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You should tell that story, by the way, when you share, like when you speak at a meeting. That's a pretty powerful story.
Yeah, you really should.
All right.
Lean into the dead dad part.
Dad card works in sobriety and
I usually end up spending like so much time on it anyway, because it's like my dad died and then I had to do 3-4 steps and make an amends that like by the end of it, people are like, yeah, we get it. Your dad died.
Yeah. Is that what people tell you after the meeting? Like, dude, great story, but like cut back on the dead dad stuff. We get it.
Wait,
what? Has that ever happened? Is that in your head?
You what?
Has that ever happened?
No, not explicitly, but I like after I'm like, well, and now we're going to go back to my dad again.
Because they don't understand what it's like to have a dead dad.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how Zach and I first met. Card. Over the dead dad.
It really is. That's what bonded us. That's why you need to speak about this.
Well, yeah, he went that back way, out.
So. Years later, you can maybe have one friend.
yes, my friend.
I mean, tell me if this plays, because I mean, we're talking about advice, right? You know how like you're supposed to give your sponsee like good advice? God, I hate that you guys have never relapsed. not that I don't want you guys to relapse, but like it just consistently makes me look like an asshole on this podcast.
That and a thousand.
So yeah, I relapsed with a sponsee one time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that the 14th?
Have I never
step?
Told you this before?
You've never told me this story.
Oh my god.
Zach's a scumbag.
You guys have actually met him too. That guy that we went to dinner with that one night at that restaurant by the water.
We both were like judging each other.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh wait, no, he's actually kind of cool. Like we both.
Yeah, he's like a cool fucking kid.
Yeah, he was a cool
but
kid.
But like, dude, like he gotten like 6 months sober. I had like a fucking year, and I'd already relapsed once. But then like I didn't get high again until I got high with him. And of course, I didn't tell him I'd gotten high already. And he was like, dude, like, I really want to get fucking high. Like, I'm a chronic relapser. I always do this. And I don't remember what the conversation was, but we ended up getting high that night. And then we proceeded to use together for the next 11 months. He moved into my building and I became his dealer.
You remember that episode?
That might be the worst advice you ever get.
Yeah.
Where Frank is somebody's sponsor and they're at some weird party. And
was it a Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, it's a Sunny in Philadelphia. We're like, he goes to Frank. He's like, dude, I'm thinking about doing blow. And Frank's like, okay. It's like, I'm thinking about drinking. He's like, okay. And like one of the characters is like, Frank, you're supposed to be a sponsor. What are you doing? He's like, what? I helped him make all of those choices. I was definitely supporting him. Like that's what it sounds like. You were a Frank sponsor.
Dude. Oh my god, there's another show that did that. It was oh my god.
Shameless,
yeah.
You can't be tapping on the table.
Why not?
Because it gets picked up.
Yeah. That was not one of my better moments. If we're going to talk about times that I gave good advice, I mean, I told Jack not to give cigarettes to minors.
Yeah.
That makes me sound so bad.
You guys consistently make me sound bad.
True. Fair enough. So, to my credit, my defense of giving minors cigarettes.
Wait, you did that?
No, I almost did. I called you first. I was really close.
Yeah.
I was dealing with a bunch of teenagers at an adolescent treatment program. I would take them for walks, and all they would do, they weren't allowed to have cigarettes. All they would do is they'd pick up half-smoked cigarettes off the ground or in ashtrays and then smoke them. And
that's fine because you're not the one giving them cigarettes.
Right. I was thinking, well, that's really disgusting, and I don't want these guys to get mouth herpes the rest of their lives. So, by the way, I was like 17 in high school. This girl had a cold sore, and I definitely remember one time I was like, just in front of everybody, I just went, "Is that herpes on your face?" She was mortified.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, when I was a kid. And so I didn't want these teenagers getting mouth herpes. And so I was like seriously debating. I was like, what if I just bought them a pack?
And wait, so you didn't want them to get herpes, so you just said don't smoke your cigarette butts?
No, I didn't want them to smoke
after you.
No, I don't smoke.
Random people's cigarette butts.
I don't want them to smoke random people's cigarette butts. Or cigarettes that have been sitting in, like,
dumpster. I'm just saying it's probably safer to smoke a random person's cigarette butts than your cigarette butts if you were, you know, trying to keep them from getting herpes.
One, I don't have herpes, and two, I don't smoke.
Sure you don't.
4 years.
4 years, no herpes?
4 years, no herpes. 4 years, no herpes, and no cigarettes.
For sure. Didn't know,
this didn't is Zach getting back.
Causation is not equal to... correlation, whatever the fucking thing is.
Correlation is not causation.
Yeah, that's you're the smart one, Anthony. Thank you.
Yes.
Anthony, what's the worst advice you've given someone? Because I give you two horrible advice all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you like 2 days ago, you're complaining about your wife, and I said, well, what'd her friend look like?
Speaking about like bad advice.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes, like for any of our listeners in Ireland, don't understand what our home group 12-step meeting is called the hot seat. And
why is it called the hot seat, Jack?
I think it was originally because if you got invited to the meeting, you found out once you got to the meeting you were speaking, so you were technically put in the hot seat.
I thought it was because there's one chair in the center of the room and everybody else sits around it looking at you.
Yeah. I mean, sort of, but I'm pretty positive just speaking to like a couple of the older guys in there who've been there for like 25 years. It started out like that. Like it was the same format. Like you would sit in the middle of everybody, but like when you were invited to the meeting and then like you were asked to speak right there. Anyways, so the Irish listeners we have, when we share after the speaker, it's a crosstalk meeting, so you can just yell out.
What's a crosstalk, Jack?
Exactly what Zach just did very poorly. So I have brought a lot of things to the table at the hot seat. I know you guys have brought serious stuff to the hot seat and like, you know, people have debated over it. Like Zach, you do it very well. It's like you have an issue and you just like, hey, I want to get 8 different opinions. What do you guys think? You know, like I see you do that all the time.
The worst part is when the first person says, did you talk to your sponsor? Fuck you.
Right.
A lot of people don't though.
A lot of people don't. And the other one is, did you do any writing on it? Those are like the first two questions always asked. And I've seen like people talk about something. Like one kid, what was it? One guy was complaining because his life was not what he wanted it to be. It was like the first time he'd been to a meeting in 9 months, right? And like, a lot of the members of the hot seat took 20 minutes of the meeting to try and dissect this guy's life on why it was terrible. And it was so obvious. I like eventually just yelled at everyone. I don't think anyone paid attention to me anyways, but like he had not worked the steps. He had not talked to his sponsor in 9 months. And he hadn't been to
Didn't
have any fellowship. Didn't and he was like, why is my life terrible? And everyone was like, well, sometimes anxiety and depression just happen. You know, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing to improve your life, idiot?
Yeah. So I've seen that happen a few times. I've seen it happen to Anthony. I'm not going to bring up that story, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be real. Anthony has anxiety.
Well, you have to.
He took a small thing of what he said and ignored the problem and just like shared their own experience on the small thing he said.
Was this the kids thing?
The kids thing, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing about the hot seat is whenever I open my mouth at that meeting, I fully expect that I'm about to be overloaded with information and a lot of it is going to be really bad advice. Mm-hmm. And it's my job to just sit there and listen, answer any added questions. And then after the meeting, go back and be like, all right, who actually said something worth paying attention to?
That's actually what I mean. I sound like I'm hating on the hot seat. First off, the meeting saved my life. I once cried about it in front of everybody.
Yes.
I wish I was there.
Yeah, you weren't sober yet, Zach.
It was amazing.
Wait, were you there, Anthony?
I was there, and I was there the week after when you came back to the meeting and quietly sat in the corner hoping no one would notice you.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, here's the thing. Because I'm friends with you, like, six separate people have told me that story. I almost went through a similar situation where I thought I was leaving and I had to come back. And they're like, well, as long as you don't cry like Jack. He's fucking discouraged.
That's why if I ever have to leave, I'm just going to ghost the meeting.
Really? That's your idea? You're already planning on breaking up with us?
No. Just I know that if I have to, I can't pull a Jack.
Can you guys believe I have to speak this Wednesday at the fucking hot seat? I spoke at this meeting twice in the last like year and a half. Like, why? I'm going to botch this shit tomorrow.
I've spoken at the hot seat once.
Same.
It went terribly. Two of my clients showed up right when I started speaking, and I got real like weird. I was like, "Oh crap!"
Self-disclosure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, the best advice I've ever heard. I don't know if he wants me to say his name, but he was my counselor in Beit Shuva the second time I was there, and this guy is like the most straight up person, and his shit always just fucking worked. He's the same person that said, "Stop being a bitch," which is like what put me on the right track. And we're sitting in our fucking home group. It's like nine dudes, seven of us. We're all going to the fucking three men's stags a week, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And he said, straight up, fuck the counseling shit. This is the best advice you'll ever hear. Jerk off, call your sponsor, speak about it in a men's stag.
Yeah.
And that'll generally solve most of my problems. And I'm not talking
except
about
for
like,
compulsive masturbation.
I don't compulsively masturbate. But yeah. I mean, it depends on how many problems you have, Anthony. but yeah, that will generally solve most of my problems. And I'm like not talking about like bullshit problems. I'm talking about like real fucking problems. Like I was leaving treatment and had nowhere to go and didn't know what to do. So I jerked off.
So Zach, when you find yourself in a life problem, you find
yourself. Give me a problem. Paint the picture.
Like
your Zandies aren't kicking in quickly enough.
You know, I'm still really disappointed. I spent a whole $9 on this. I had to buy 100 of them because you couldn't buy less than 100. And I was really hoping to get you guys with that.
Did they taste good?
Yeah, they taste like strawberry lemonade.
Okay, well, then it was all worth it.
So Zach, let me paint a picture. Let's say your car breaks down, or like you get into a car wreck, you're fine, and life
oh
just
oh my god, my insurance is going up.
Like you're burnt out at work. Like you're just having life's building up, right? So you're having quality problems.
Okay.
When you start to have quality problems, or just say like let's say God forbid like your roommate relapses and also need to find a new roommate. You know, like
oh god, I've done that already.
I know you've done that. So when you have these problems, do you find yourself with your advice that you were given that you take religiously? Do you find yourself oddly getting horny at random things?
You sound like my 11th grade religion teacher talking about the dangers of masturbation.
You just go, oh, my car is fucked up. Let's try to find a bathroom.
Crank one out real quick.
Which it's Jack do I do first?
First
that was
step
good, in, Anthony.
Yeah. So car breakdown, I mean, like here's the thing, like, I'm X amount of days removed from my disease, you know? I probably wouldn't jerk off if my car broke down. Would
so
I
you're
call
saying,
my
like,
sponsor?
First week of sobriety, you would have been like, oh, it's a free time to masturbate. Let's well, go.
Fun fact, didn't have a car, so it, no need to worry about that. Nah. But, you know, like, certain scenario. Okay, fine. Most people's issue in, that takes them out is pink or green.
Of course.
And generally in those scenarios, like, that'll work. You know what I mean? And the jerking off thing is just to give you clarity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, didn't you have more clarity to go to sleep after
it,
you,
like,
you know,
it clearly injects
Bucky's
your brain
night?
With endorphins like that, you know?
Yeah, science. That's how facts are made. Assuage.
Yes.
I don't know what that word salad was trying to prove.
He was trying to pull a Jesse Pinkman. Science, bitch.
Science, bitch.
So look, back to, okay, so we've already kind of talked about this on the podcast, so I hope I'm not like repeating myself too much. But back to that girl that was working in treatment that I didn't sleep with that I thought I was getting kicked out for.
Yep.
Jerked off, did not sleep with her. I jerked off. I spoke about it in a men's stack, and I spoke about it with my sponsor. And the advice that was given to me was don't sleep with that girl. Don't do anything. Don't confront the situation. Speak about it with people that you care about their opinion. Because I was straight up about to fuck that girl because I was like, look, if I'm going to get blamed for it, I might as well have gotten something from it. But I didn't sleep with her. I jerked off. I spoke about it. I spoke about it with my sponsor. I shared it in a men's tag. And everything worked out. Everything.
There you go.
It all started with a wank.
Do you think just beating it, like, allows you... And I'm not trying to make a joke here. I'm actually trying to, like...
Bullshit.
I'm not trying to make a joke, I promise. So, you know, like, we talk a lot about, like, trusting the process. Like, you like learning to trust the process.
Yeah.
Like, and how to learn in the beginning, how to say this? Like, when you are first learning
don't
how to do
it,
that.
Don't sugarcoat it, just say it.
That's what I'm trying to say, right? Don't interrupt me. Okay, so when you're first trying to learn how to trust the process, which is a really hard thing to do, like, how much do you think, and you really got to learn how to pause, right? Like, that's kind of the beginning of it. You got to pause and realize what it's in front of you, right? Not like what's at point Z. Not that this girl's going to get you kicked out of the sober living. It's like, really, it's like, what's in front of you right now? And, like, you think masturbation helped you, like, learn that pause?
It's
yeah, for
one
sure.
Of the,
sorry.
I was just going to say, it's one of the few times where I am 100% focused on the task at hand.
What up, Chin?
See, wait. I actually asked a serious question, and Anthony turned it into a joke. So, there.
But I'm also serious.
No,
like,
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, unless you're a complete animal like Jack that just jerks off in front of cats, I mean, like, you're generally by yourself, so you have to remove yourself from the situation. You know what I mean?
Don't act like high and mighty you haven't jerked off with your mom's dog not watching you, okay?
First off,
I have
not jerked off with any animals.
I'm sure that dog was staring at you with intent, like, oh, what's he doing?
I used to lock my girlfriend's cat out of the room because I didn't like it looking at me when we'd have sex.
Yeah, the cats are just on the bed at this point.
That's so weird.
Yeah, you like, and sometimes they like touch you and it just ruins everything.
I'm sorry, Anthony. Story time. Story time.
No, I can agree. I definitely had that moment.
Both of you?
The cat's just like, this is a good time to rub up against my human's leg.
Hold on. So you two are getting busy with your prospective females. And
women. They're called women.
Mm-hmm.
Are you
my
saying
wife,
that your
yes.
women are not females?
Continue. All right,
whatever. You're getting busy with your girl. And your cat's just like, hey.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Cats
you
do not understand social
pet,
contracts.
That's a very common thing. Like, people have dogs or cats, like, they're just like there. You know?
So when I was young, my dog stole weed cookies that I had made.
Okay.
So from then on out, I didn't let him in my portion of the house because I didn't want him eating any weed and throwing up. So yeah, no, I didn't have dogs in my room, even though I did have a dog. The girl that was with the cat, I kicked the cat out. Well,
and you gotta also remember, it's a little bit different. Like, my wife and I are in the same apartment. Like, you know, like you and Chuck live together, and like if you have a lady friend over who's after she's already cooked for you, because that's what you seem to do.
I don't see a problem with that.
And, you know, you have to close the door because Chuck's there. Like, you have to have, like,
yeah, I'm not gonna,
like, dude, all, like, all our doors are open except the front door, basically. So, like, the cats have free range, and like half the time the cat's already on the bed when he's trying to move them over, you know.
Do you not like bat it out the way?
No, my cat has three legs, dude. Be gentle with it.
He's not an invalid. I mean, he can still get around.
He can get around, but, like, you know, he's not, like, an agile cat. Like, he's...
If you push him off the bed, he may not land very...
Yeah, he's not going to land smoothly. Gracefully.
All right, so you just leave your invalid geriatric cat right there.
Yeah, we just, you know, push him to the other side, and he screams at us, and then goes back to...
So here's immediately where my anxiety comes in, is, like, cat swipes at your ball bag or something.
Because it's just dangling. It's like, ooh, let's play something.
I mean, I know that's like kind of low hanging fruit, but like,
these are not literally low hanging fruit. That's a real fear.
I'll give you that. That's cats have claws, dude. They have a real fear.
Oh, you know what? I had when I lived with my uncle, he had two cats, but the cats were declawed. Wait, so hold on, Anthony, you're getting busy with your girl. This cat is rubbed up against you.
Yes, it happens.
I'm assuming it's happened multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
God, yeah. Cats do not give a fuck what else is going on. They just,
I mean, they don't really watch. Like, dogs will just sit there and watch you from the other side of the room with a smile on their face. Okay.
Does that turn
like
you
panting. You know, like, that's kind of creepy. Cats are just kind of like, yeah, fuck, just
panting in rhythm.
That's so fucking weird.
Yeah, dude, that's just part of having a pet.
I've had pets. Don't try and two-thirds me out of this one, being the weird person out of
Zach, it. Zach, you got to be closer to Mike.
Animals, it doesn't close. Have animals watch him while they fuck.
Yeah, you're two-thirds on this, so.
Yeah,
you know what? Next time I get laid and there's an animal there, apparently. Next time I get laid and there's a fucking animal there, I'm not going to be able to think about anything else.
Zach, you're almost 30-year-old. Like, let a dog
watch
you.
You better get ready because Jack's wedding is at a zoo. So if you do plan to get down with the bridesmaids, there will probably be animals.
Oh, I got to put some good words in for you at the bridesmaids.
Yeah, please.
Zach hasn't just go around being like Zach has not had chlamydia a dozen times.
That's not even words. It's gonna be like.
Sorry, I just listened to that episode. What were you saying,
yeah,
Jack?
Dude, if I can figure out A, how to get laid at this fucking party, B, in front of a llama, dreams are being made.
Dude, llamas like to kick. Be careful.
They spit, too.
That's camel.
I think llamas do, too.
I don't know, maybe.
Just like you feel something warm and wet run down your back.
That's terrible.
That's not the location I'm looking for.
All right, so.
So you're putting in good words.
I'm putting in words. All right. Any crazy thing that's ever happened in a meeting?
Yeah, when I used to go to late night at the Marina Center, which was real
crazy.
It was real degenerate, but was exactly what I needed until I had about 6 months. There was one night where this lady who wasn't, she had some mental health issues, like as the meeting's getting out,
was
just
hot?
Like, no, walks up to somebody like another girl and just punches her in the eye for no particular reason. And then just walks out of the meeting casually. And as somebody's like, hey, stop her, she takes off and runs right across, what is it, Washington?
Mm-hmm.
She just sprints across Washington to the other side of the street and just books it way the hell away from the meeting. And then the next week just shows up like nothing happened. And half the meeting is like, hey, you can't be here. And the other half of the meeting who wasn't there was like, what are you talking about? You, this isn't a place where you kick people out. And somebody finally just goes, everybody who wasn't here last week, shut the fuck up. You don't know what happened. And they kicked her out and she was never allowed to come back. And that was when I realized maybe I needed to start going to different meetings.
Yeah, I've seen some crazy shit at fucking Marina Center.
What about you, Zach?
Well, okay, so I'm surprised that neither of you brought this one up first, but who remembers when Hot Seat was at the old location?
Mm-hmm.
And my old sponsor and I don't know how to do it without saying his name. We'll call him Zed. Zed walks out of the meeting to go fucking smoke, and he comes back in, and he's like, you, come outside. And it was literally just him and my old sponsor, and they go outside, and they proceed to get in a gang fight with God damn it, who's the Shoreline in Venice? There was apparently 8 Shoreline gang members beating the shit out of 2 girls in the middle of the street, and they just like they just defended these 2 girls that were getting beaten up. And at one point he had this kid in a fucking headlock, and he saw this kid coming at him with a skateboard and just turned, and the gang member hit this friend in the head with a skateboard. I remember
how your old sponsor coming in and being like, you. I didn't know what was happening. He clearly,
He was the one that went outside? Yeah, okay. Dude, I had like maybe 4 months at sober at that point. I really tried to go out there, but like I wasn't supposed to, and I was like trying to take direction at the time, unfortunately. But that seemed like a very good justifiable way to hit something or someone, and I wanted to go, you know?
That's insane.
Yeah, I remember that happening, but yeah, not what happened. Yeah,
that's insane.
That's what I was told happened. So it might have been like 2 or 3, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like that was it. And they just fucking like fucked these kids up.
Nice.
I remember like one of them had like a scratch, and the other one had like a black eye.
I think somebody broke their hand.
Yeah, like punching
somebody. Yeah.
Leaving that meeting. I probably had like 15 to 18 months sober, and I was trying to be like a good person and give this kid a ride home. I say kid, really, and he looked young, but I mean, really, he was like 36 and had just gotten out of prison for doing 6 years.
Right.
And my
big old softy, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm giving this kid a ride home, and we pull away from the meeting, and not even 2 blocks away from the meeting, we get pulled over. Because
you definitely told the story.
On the podcast?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go fuck myself.
Yeah. No offense.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like you're wrong.
I couldn't tell you what happened.
No, he got pulled over, and they thought his tattoos of a turtle were, like, gang tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even have the turtle tattoo yet.
No.
Dick.
Anyways. All right, guys. I think we got enough for an episode.
Do you have any stories, Jack?
Oh, man. Off the top of my head. CMA meetings used to be insane. We'd always get some crazy people in there.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Why don't you just embellish one? Just make one up. Let's see how interesting it can be.
Because my makeup stories, they're not as good as the ones that are real. Craziest thing I've ever seen in a meeting. I'm trying to think of the Marina Center, because that's just all sorts of crazy.
It's just hectic.
Bad shit.
You know what really surprised me? You know how, like, the men's stags are supposed to be for men only, but, like, in that group meeting setting, like, it's supposed to be all inclusive. I remember one time I had less than a year sober, and this homeless woman decided to come sit in on our meeting, and someone was like, hey, this is a men's stag, you can't be here. And then, like, without even doing a group vote, someone was like, we're supposed to be all inclusive. If this person needs a place to be for an hour and is willing to be quiet, and they like emphasized on that, and then we just let the woman sit there for the meeting. I thought that was really nice.
I don't think I was there for that.
I don't think I was there for that one.
I thought it was really nice, you know?
Yes, it's sweet.
Yeah, because as long as you have a desire to not
drink. I like how they emphasize quiet.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they can get rowdy.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You guys seem decaffeinated.
Dude, I stopped drinking coffee.
I mean, it's 9:17 out here.
I mean, you can start taking these. It'll give you a little sugar rush. Some
Zach, you want to go get tacos after this, Zach?
Yeah, I'm down.
Fuck you guys.
You can Anthony, come. You're Anthony, invited. We've invited you every time.
I literally can't go right now.
It's only like 16 hours and 20 minutes.
It's only
like...
If you
jump on a flight, it's shorter.
12 and a half hours.
Yeah. All right. How about this? We'll order enough tacos for three people and then just proceed to eat them.
All right. So thank you, listeners, once again for listening to another episode of Wet Dad Podcast. If you want more entertainment, or questionable entertainment, as we like to call it, please check out our Patreon. Please give us money so we can buy more stuff for this podcast to bring you more questionable entertainment. Please also check out our email at whatdadpodcast@gmail.com. Please check out our Instagram, where we post all the wonderful, wonderful content that we have of Zach and his selfies at whatdadpodcast.
What Dad Podcast is brought to you by Unwritten Content, which provides content marketing and copy editing. I help people and businesses who are experts in their field express their knowledge in a way that is entertaining and informative.
What Dad Podcast is also brought to you by Keep Left Recovery, a sober coach and sober companion and counseling service located on the west side of LA. Keep Left Recovery specializes in helping young people embrace recovery and helps them tell the stories they did not know they had inside.
Okay, not that I think either of you guys are cheaters, but like I'm reading this book, Cheaters, right now, and it's fucking awesome. I wonder who would be able to pull it off successfully between the two of you. Like
me.
Yeah, it's Jack.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
What part of I have anxiety do you think would not give me anxiety about that?
I feel like you'd be really successful at it because I don't feel like you would do something unless you know you would be successful at it.
I was raised on guilt and shame.
Exactly. So this will give you some fuel for the fire.
I'm still saying it's me.
Yeah, it's for sure Jack.
Do you care to elaborate, Jack?
I have a scummy side to me that I know it's there. You know? It's not like, you know, she's not paying attention. Yeah, I've definitely cheated on girls before. Yeah, it's called being a crazy alcoholic and addict, dude.
Oh, my God, dude. So, sometimes it's fun to lean into that. You know what I mean? Like, I've been having such a fun
time. It's tempting, for sure.
Well, I don't have a girlfriend, so it's not like I'm cheating on anyone.
I know. So we'll end on that wonderful note about marriage.